If I had to choose one word to summarize what faith is, the word that I would pick is hope. But I'm not just talking about common, everyday hope, because people often use the word hope to talk about some desire that they have, some strong wish that they might have, but frequently one that they're not quite sure about. I might hope, for example, to get a good grade. I might hope to make the team. I might hope that the interview goes well, and so forth. That's usually how the world uses this word. But Christian hope is something far more than this. Christian hope looks forward to what is to come. But at the same time, it knows that it will come. And knowing what is going to come enables it to know what the future will hold. But it also enables it to face all things right now in sure and certain confidence. Christian hope leads us through every trouble, no matter how difficult that trouble may be. Because consider what Paul says at the beginning of our epistle reading. He says in verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Think about your present suffering, he says, whatever that suffering may be. Are you suffering some physical ailment? Are you suffering with some kind of disease that you can't seem to shake? Are you suffering from some kind of trouble in your life? Grief, pain, abandonment, sorrow? Are you suffering mockery and abuse simply because you are a Christian? Whatever it may be, we all suffer something as Christians in this life, because this life is a veil of tears. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And think even of Paul himself in this connection. Because Paul suffered many things. He was beaten on more than one occasion. He was stoned on more than one occasion. Shipwrecked at least a couple of times. Left for dead by his enemies. And of course there was also the thorn in his flesh, whatever that thorn was. 3 times Paul prayed to the Lord to have it taken away from him, and 3 times God told him no. So he suffered many things throughout his entire life. And if we can believe the tradition about his death, he was killed by being beheaded. So Paul was no stranger to suffering, Christians. He knew exactly what he's talking about here. But all that we suffer, he says, cannot compare with what is to come. And Paul does not mean only that the coming glory is greater than our suffering, but it is so great that our suffering is not worth comparing to it. The glory that is to come will be so great that our present suffering will seem like nothing. It will seem like a minor inconvenience on our way towards God. Because what God has promised to those who love him, Christians, is an endless joy, where there will be no more pain, where there will be no more sorrow, where there will be no more suffering, where every wrong will be made right, where every tear will be wiped away. That glory will be like a harvest that springs up as soon as it is planted. That glory will be like a city made of gold. That glory will be like the joy of coming home again after being away, except forever. That is the glory that God has promised for every faithful Christian. The glory of being with him forever. But we're not there yet. We know it's coming, but we don't see it yet. And that's what makes it hope. Because if it was already here, Christians, if we could already see it, then it would not be hope. But we wait for it to come, so we wait in hope. That's what it means to be a Christian. But even though we are waiting for it in hope, that doesn't make it any easier. Christian hope is not something that comes automatically. If it did, Paul wouldn't have to encourage us. If it's something that just happened, we didn't have to struggle with it, he wouldn't have said anything at all. But it is a struggle, because we so easily lose sight of the coming glory because of what we suffer. We become so focused on what's right in front of us that we forget what lies beyond. It's kind of like blocking the sun with your hand. Your hand is nowhere near the size of the sun, not even close. And yet we can hide the sun and think that we have somehow hidden it entirely. We can't see it because of something so small. And so it is also with our suffering. We can ask ourselves, how do I know that God loves me when this has happened? How do I know that things are going to be better when I have suffered so much? Does God care that my loved one died? Will the pain of my broken heart ever go away? Has God forgotten about me as I grow older, becoming more alone each and every day? It is so very easy for us Christians to lose hope, to lose sight of what lies ahead. But Paul gives us three reasons not to lose hope. And the first reason is because he points us to that eager longing, that inner desire for something better to come. Like somebody who is watching and waiting expectantly for someone to come home. They can't hardly wait until they finally see them again. Or the deep groaning of someone who desires and longs to be set free. The creation itself, Paul says, groans in this way. All that we see around us is in bondage to sin. Not because it is sinful, God made all things good in the beginning, but our sin has corrupted it. The sin of man has made it into something other than what God intended it to be. And the creation longs for the day when it will be set free. It longs for the day when the sons of God will be revealed, because then sin will be gone. And it can be what God intended it to be. But we see this desire in more than just creation. Paul says in verse 23, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." We as Christians groan inwardly. We are also eagerly looking for what is to come. Because a Christian longs to be free of sin. A Christian wants to be like God in every way. And it hurts when we see how much we have not yet attained to that. This longing shows us that the glory will indeed come. Because God has not promised to do something he's not going to do. We will be redeemed forever, free from corruption, even in the body. And that gives us hope. But more than this, the second reason why we can have hope is because we have the help of the Spirit. Paul says in verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Our prayers are often feeble. Our desires are often confused. And if all that we had was the feeling, the desire, we might lose that hope entirely. But the Spirit helps us. The Spirit is at work within us. We groan to be free. We groan to be redeemed. And the Spirit also groans within us. The Spirit calls out to the Father when we can't find the words. The Spirit fans the flames of our desire for God. The Spirit builds us up in hope. When we're not sure what's going to happen, the Spirit comforts us. When we don't know what to do, the Spirit teaches us. God Himself is at work within us, changing us, making us more and more like Him. Why would God go through all this work, Christians? Why would God do so much for us and then just abandon us in the end? This also gives us hope. But lastly and most importantly, we have hope because, as Paul says in verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. All things, not just some things, all things, not just good things, even our suffering pushes us on towards glory. Because God has predestined us, Christians, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And the image of Jesus is His suffering, the suffering which He endured for us. So through our suffering for God, we become like Jesus in every way. And just as He suffered and entered into glory, so also will we. So in this way, our suffering and pain gives us hope. The same suffering that we long to be free of gives us confidence in what God is going to do. Because God has not only promised to give us a glory far greater than all things we endure now, but God has also turned what we endure into the proof of that promise. Suffering makes us like Jesus. And every single promise that God makes finds its yes in Him. Therefore, Christians, do not lose hope. Hold on to the promises of God. Bear with your suffering with patience, knowing that it will give way to glory. Because through that very suffering, you are being shaped to be like Jesus, so that you may suffer with Him and enter into the same glory, both now and forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in whom all things work together for good, give us the patience to endure all that we suffer for You, knowing that You are preparing us for the glory to come. Through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.